While we are still standing, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon from James chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 12 through 16. James 1, 12 through 16. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deep into our hearing, and may it shape our lives as your servants, as your disciples, as those who bear your name honorably. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. We're dealing with temptation in this sermon series. We started it last week. This is part two. I would like to offer a brief review. Every one of you are tempted. You have been, perhaps you are right now, and you will still be tempted. Each one of us faces temptation, and temptations, in a simple summary, come from the outside, and they come from the inside. We are tempted by things that are outside of us, and we are tempted by our lusts, which are within us. Oftentimes, they work together. The outside things that seem to be alive and animate and pulling and calling, there's a working together with our passions and our lusts within. Sometimes we're reading Scripture and we find that there is a threat outside of us, an ancient foe. Sometimes there are tempters or temptresses calling, wooing, making siren calls. Other times, there doesn't seem to be anything on the outside of us. We're just boiling and bubbling from within, the heart, the mind. And we go pursue that which tempts us, and we give in. We all face temptation. The question is, how do we face temptation, and what do we do with the temptation? Last week, we pointed out that as Christ identified with His people, and He did so particularly when He was facing temptation, when He, after He passed through the water, He identified with His people Israel by passing through the waters of redemption. He then entered the wilderness like His people were placed in the wilderness, and His people faced temptations there. Our Lord, after His baptism, faced wild beasts, and He faced the devil. Jesus was faithful in His temptations, and He stood in the place of His people. He represented us. He did so throughout His life, and in His death, and in His resurrection, and even now as He prays for us. He prays for His people. He prays for those upon whom He has placed His name. They are mine, Father. As Christ identified with us, when during temptation, we are instructed then to identify with Christ and as Christ's when we are tempted. And I gave you an exercise. Last week I said, consider this week that when you are tempted, and you will be tempted, consider to whom you belong. Consider the fact that you belong to Jesus Christ when you are pulled, when you're tempted to listen to that call, when you start walking in that direction. Ask yourself whether or not I'm acting as if I belong to Christ by going there, doing that, thinking that way, speaking that way. That was the exercise. We have great hope because Christ was victorious. Great hope. The great help is to consider who you are when tempted. when facing temptation. And yes, I know that's a bit of a mental exercise, but really it's an entire person exercise. I could say, think this way, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ. Consider yourselves this way. How would you behave if I could take you out of this room right now and place you into an arena of great temptation, a place where you would be particularly tempted, a tailor-made temptation for you? And it's in that room. If I was to place you in there, how would you fare? How would you hold up? How would you think of yourself? I'm a servant of Christ. I'm one of Christ's appointed soldiers. Will you fall there? Will you stand there? Our text today again points out the expectation that you will face temptation. But there's a blessedness to the one who endures temptation. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Expect it to come. The question is, will you fall or will you stand faithful? Blessed is the one who endures temptation. And by the way, this could be taken as the one who endures it by even failing. And when you fail in your temptation, don't just cash it in. Don't just check out. Learn from the failure. That's a form of endurance as well. I've said this many times to many of you. We all face trials, tribulations, temptations, and difficulties. And James 1 began with that. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you face various trials. Oftentimes, we'll face the trial, it's right in front of us. We know that if we take one more step, we're right in the middle of the trial. Could be the testing, the temptation. And what we often want to do is stop. You say, you know what, I'm not going there. And sometimes that's right and wise. But the Lord brings a trial to us. Sometimes we just want to step around it. Other times we want to jump over it. And what the Lord often wants us to do is to learn through it. Ideally, learning faithfulness through it. I belong to Christ, and I'm going to face this as Christ would have me face this as one of His servants. Difficulties. The Lord loves us enough to grow us in this way. All face temptation. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. To endure is to face the temptation. And when you face it, and if you pass it, pass through this, for when he has been approved, you'll be called approved. You're approved. What will happen then? James says he will receive the crown of life. And to many of us, that sounds like an end of the life type of thing. The day is going to come when I'm going to receive a crown of life. Well, I think this is a here and a now. Because when you give in and fail in temptation, you know what you're doing? You're embracing death. You know what? There's a temptation to sin. I'm going to embrace the sin. And what do I get paid for doing the sin? The wages of the sin is death. That's the deposit I'm making in my account. But the one who endures the temptation, blessed is the one who endures temptation, for when he has done so, he'll be approved and receive the crown of life. That's how we're called to live. Live like Christ, face the temptation faithfully, and go through it. It's a here and now matter as well as a future matter. And by the way, facing and enduring temptation is also a way that you show that you love the Lord. The Lord will give the crown of life to those who love Him. It goes back to our identity again. To whom do you belong? I belong to the Lord, and I'm going to face this as a servant of the Lord, as one who bears His name, as one who wears the garments of righteousness, because I love the Lord. That's going to be the second aspect today, is going to be a matter of our love for the Lord. The first great help in facing the temptation, and you're going to face temptation, is knowing to whom you belong. The second matter is considering your passions, your loves. That's what we're going to deal with today. to endure temptation displays the love of God. So you know what this is? This is a question of your loves. Let me be more provocative. This is a matter of your passions. What is it that gets your motor running? What is it that gets your passions on fire? Answer that, not out loud. What gets you going? What is it that really moves you? This is curious. We're dealing with temptation, and I say to you, it's a matter of your passions, your desires, your loves. And you know what you're tempted to say? Well, of course. That's what James says here. Of course, let no one say when he is tempted, verse 13, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. By the way, to understand this context, God does test his children. God tested Abraham. What this is referring to here is tempting with evil. God, our Lord, never tests us with a shining example of sin. I'd like you to take this sin and run with it. Our Lord never does that. If we find ourselves inclined toward evil, even the evil of gossip, anger, bitterness, you know what, I'm just going to hold on to it for a while. I'm going to put it in like a pinch between a chicken. Just going to hold on to it. I'm going to suck all the marrow out of that death. No. What's going on? Don't say that God is dangling evil in front of you. James here, the focus here is, you know what? It's within you. He's not denying the fact that we can be tempted from the outside. It's that as well as this. James says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Drawn away. How can you draw some? Consider this. If there's a dog down the street, and you know that dog responds to a whistle, and you chirp out a whistle, that dog takes off. The dog's drawn away. Or you can just dangle something in front of that dog, a little treat, some food. Dog is drawn away. It's as if our lusts are doing that with us. Each one is tempted. Each one of you. You need to start owning up to this. Okay? When you're tempted, admit it. I'm drawn away by my own lusts. It's a matter. You know what the heart of the matter is? It's the matter of the heart. That's what it is. It's a matter of your passions. So James is going to say that each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires, his own lusts, and enticed. So you could say, of course, this is a matter of passions. This is a matter of desire. This is a matter of loves. But in dealing with temptation, I'm going to tell you what the issue is. It's that you do not have the right loves, passions, or desires. Let me put it another way. When you're enticed into sin, when your lusts draw you away, I'm not denying, James does not deny, our Lord does not deny that you've got lusts boiling, frothing up. And then all of a sudden, those desires pull you away. The problem is you don't have strong enough desires, strong enough other desires. I'll give you some examples in just a moment. So we're quick to blame our passions, and you know what? You should. If I have sinful passions and I have just caved, shame. But there's another sense in which we're to blame our passions. They're not strong enough and they're not the right ones. We don't have the right passions. So, the next time you're facing temptation, ask, to whom do you belong? And what are my operative passions here? What is it that's really moving me? I love the way C.S. Lewis phrased this. in his address, The Weight of Glory, he says, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. By the way, the Greek word lust, epithumia, can be positive, can be negative. It can be a lusting after that which, I'm using the word provocatively here, epithumia, after that which is good, and it can be, and it often is used, after that which is evil. Lewis said, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. I love the way Kevin DeYoung phrased this. Worldliness is whatever makes sin look normal and righteousness look strange. You know what? I have given into my lust so much. I have been so shaped into conformity with the world in opposition to Christ that my sin now looks normal and righteousness looks strange. I don't want to go there. So how strong are your desires? What if we were to open that door and to place you into that room of particular temptation for you? What would you long for most of all? Would you be like Asaph in Psalm 73? Whom do I have in heaven but you, and on earth I desire none but you, Lord? You know, you can't say that unless first your identity is in the Lord. That's why these two sermons have gone back to back. To whom do you belong? And how does your blood flow? Here's an example. In marriage, how do you view others? How strong are your passions? Do you desire always to get your own way and to pridefully argue your point? Or do you love giving honor to the other? How strong are your desires? You know, it's crazy with regard to sexual temptations for anybody. The notion is out there that you're strong if you're crazily involved in sexual thoughts and sexual activity. That's where the strength is found. Really, strength is found by giving in all the time? Or is strength found in controlled, loving, appropriate expressions of mind and body? Spouses, husbands and wives, how do you view your spouse? How strong are your passions? And I'm not referring to sexual passions here. I'm talking about passions for holiness. Is it always a matter of winning the argument? Or is it a matter of, I want to represent Christ first, middle, last? Daddies and sharpness to children. My job to teach them. I got to teach them. How about if we teach them by the way we behave? How are our passions? And you know what we'll do? We'll cloak all of our sins in strong, righteous language. I think our passions are too weak. Our desires are too weak, and we give in to the temptations. Let's go to lust. Here's an example. Men or women, when you look at someone of the opposite sex, do you look at them lustfully or according to the doxology? Do you look at others lustfully or do you look at them as someone whom you would love to see lifting their hands singing the doxology? How strong are your passions? Pretend to think, oh, I've got, I tell you what, it's like crazy, it's horses, crazy horses. Just fire burning. Is your identity first in Christ? How strong are your passions? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We think of the heart as a blood-pumping muscle organ. Okay, let's deal with our heart, our blood, our passions. Everyone here, do we take watch of our heart and do so with all diligence? You know what? I am not going to go there because I am going to love the Lord my God with all my heart and soul and mind and strength, with every fiber of my being, with my eyes, with what I listen to, with what I do. And because of that, I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. I'm going to preserve my heart so that the day will come when I present my heart to my future husband or wife as a gift. Out of your heart spring the issues of life. How strong are your passions? Do not enter the path of the wicked. I don't even want to go there. Don't walk in the way of evil. Proverbs 4:14 says, avoid it. Don't even travel on it. I've got strong desires. I'm not even going to go there. And you know what? Some people will say, oh, you're so weak. You're not even going to do that. No. And you can say, yeah, I am weak. And I'm trying to get strong. That's why I'm going to avoid that. I don't even want to travel there. Turn away from it and pass on. There are some people who do not sleep unless they have done evil. Their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. How strong are your desires? As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My soul pants, thirsts for the Lord. In one sense, we're in the presence of God already. Everything we're doing, you know, we're all concerned about drones. How much are drones seeing? The Lord sees it all. The Lord sees everything. How strong are your desires? So you know what the bad news is with regard to our temptations? The bad news is oftentimes our desires are too weak. The good news of temptation is this. Just as Christ was tempted, so are His servants. You're thinking, that's good news? Yes, let me explain. We are tempted in this sense from the outside. We are in a battle. You are in a battle. Satan targeted the Son of God, and you know what else? Satan targets the sons of God. Satan targets the children of God. We are, in the title of a very fine book, Born for Battle. And you know what our ancient foe would love to see about you? I'm going to tell you right now. He would love to see, and this is its aim, your fall, your failure, your defeat. Go ahead and put it in a sports analogy. You know what our ancient foe would love to see? Would love to see you on the DL. Disabled list. Our ancient foe attacks those who belong to Christ. That's the good news about temptation. And you know what? When you're facing temptation, and you will face temptation again, the presence or the pressure of temptation may not mean that there's a problem with you. From God's perspective, it may mean that there's a problem with you from our ancient foe's perspective. Because he'd love to see you defeated, caved, landed, fallen flat on your face again and again. If we don't know to whom we belong, and if we don't have strong enough desires, we will be defeated. Satan targets those who are Christ's and would love to see you sidelined. This is the good news of temptation. Not every difficulty you face is because you're a failure or because you are doomed. Many come about because you are Christ's. And you have a target on you. Now I'm going to draw a little analogy out of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. There are times when you're facing trial. Could be a temptation. Could be some testing. And you sense the dryness, the deadness. You're close to failure. Maybe you have failed. And you know, in the brilliance, C.S. Lewis had a brilliant notion here, and this is true throughout Scripture. And what he called it in the demonic language was the law of undulation. The law of undulation. It comes from the Latin word unda, wave. You know what your life? Your life has times like this. Your life is often like this. And the devils don't ever want you to think that that's normal. They want you to think that life is always like this or like this. Everything is great. Don't let them ever think that the law of undulation is normal. Don't let them think that some of the difficult times are exactly what their Heavenly Father wants for them. A number of years ago, when we lived in Phoenix, Arizona, we would go to San Diego periodically. So you're in Phoenix, Arizona, there's a lot of desert there, and we wanted to go to the ocean. And if you would consider the ocean pleasant, if you considered San Diego pleasant, Coronado Island pleasant, you wanted to leave the heat of the desert and go to Coronado Island. You wanted to go there. But to get there, you had to go through incredible dryness, incredible dearth. And yet that was normal. That was part of the path, part of the travel. You know what? Our Lord allows that in our lives. There are times of highs and lows. It's normal. There are times of peace and times of tribulation. There are times of trial and times of victory. The Lord remains faithful to you even in the middle of your temptations. This is more the good news of temptation. The Lord does not tempt you with evil. And it's interesting today, in our Old Testament readings, I wanted to point something out to you. The same event in the life of David. David asked Joab, his military commander, to count the military. I want to know how many fighting men that I have. The Lord allows tempting to occur. The Lord will test His people. And you know what? It often looks similar with what the Lord is doing with you and with what their ancient foe is doing to you may look similar because they're always using our lusts and our passions and revealing to us whether or not our lusts or passions are strong enough. It's beautifully phrased in Scripture. The comparison between 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles that was read just a few moments ago. In 2 Samuel, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and the Lord moved David against them to say, "Go number Israel and Judah." The Lord was active. In 1 Chronicles 21, now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. Same event. Looks similar, but vastly different. Let me explain. It was David's pride and David's lust as king, as ruler to count the people. Joab, the militaristic, bloodthirsty Joab said, "You don't need to do this, O king. Do it anyway. You shouldn't do this." But his heart was beating, his passions were beating, "I want to." And you know how often our pride just gets in the way and reveals our passions? The devil used it, and the Lord used it, but for very different ends. The Lord allows tempting to occur, and it may look very similar, but it is very different. The Lord allowed it because he loved David. Satan pursued it because he hated David. The Lord loved David and wanted to expose and grow him. The devil did it because he hated David and wanted to weaken him. What was the goal? The Lord desired maturity and growth. Satan desired to destroy. The Lord did strike Israel. As with the leader, it happened to the people. David then said to God, "I have sinned greatly." How did he come to know it? He began to realize that his passions were beating in the wrong direction. His blood flow was going in the wrong direction. "I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." So let me summarize. You're going to face temptation? We've got an ancient foe. Wiser than we are. But we've got a victorious king who has endured every category of temptation that we will ever face. Looks the same. Our passions are being revealed. One, our ancient foe would love to see Christ and his people defeated. But our Lord is victorious and, according to 2 Peter 1:3, has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. You don't have to listen to his lies. You don't have to listen to his lies. You don't have to be like that one man in the Gospels who buried the talent and lied about the master. "You know, I knew you were a hard taskmaster. I knew you were like Pharaoh. Lord, I knew you would ask me to make bricks without straw." That was a lie. We don't have to listen to the lies and we don't have to repeat the lies. We have to repeat the truth. To whom do you belong? When you face temptation, and how strong are your passions? Your passions reveal your loyalty, your citizenship. May this be true here, for we shall face temptation. You will, we will. May we honor the Lord in all that is before us, for he loves us and allows this and seeks our maturity. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, O Lord, cause us to grow according to the glory and honor of your name. May we more and more reflect Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. And we pray in his name. And amen.